It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I'm excited what all God's doing in the house. It's like we've had some just awesome services. Preachers come sharing the word, and I don't do anybody or anything, just add my little part to it. If you want to stay with me, I ain't gonna be long, I'm sure. So just my little thought is first we had an awesome little service last Sunday night, and he preached about prayer. And somebody gave me a personal word and says, you know, there's peace and obedience. And I thought about that. And at the moment, I really didn't think about it. I was in such a breakthrough. And, you know, like, really, that's a whole lot true. Because, you know, Saul ran around and really didn't. This is my testimony. Let me testify before I preach. I do this occasionally. There's peace and obedience. So if you find yourself in a place where you're not having any peace, maybe it's because you did. And that's the first sin. Eve went out and it was a simple thing. She didn't do anything major. She just found herself in disobedience. So if you find here I stand in obedience. In other words, and if it's any consolation, I'm really here for more me. And if you get a word out of this, thank God. I mean, God just dropped this little thing in my heart, and this is what I've got for her. The church right now. It's just, and I believe the Holy Ghost is important. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And I love how the young people and everybody's reaching out in the Holy Ghost, and how we're speaking in tongues and how we're tarrying in the altar. And I think that is just, I think that's the most awesome thing in the world. I cut my teeth on the altars, and I remember spreading my arms out, and it was done with camp meeting. And it was camp meeting was over. It was a Sunday night after camp meeting. Several of my friends got the Holy Ghost, and I didn't get the Holy Ghost. And I looked over at my mom and said, I ain't got it yet. And my mom reached at me, but you ain't done praying. You ain't done praying yet. And before I left the altar, which was about 2 or 3 in the morning, I had the Holy Ghost. My life has never been the same. But the Holy Ghost is not the only thing that's going to keep us. I believe we'll just get right into the word. The Holy Ghost and with fire. God, he preached through several of the men of God. John the Baptist, several of them says, "I will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." So the Old Testament, they used a lot of fire. They had a lot of fire. They did fire for their sacrifices. God was a consuming fire. He spoke in a bush that did not consume, that was on fire. So even Jeremiah said, you know, I didn't even want to preach anymore, but his word was in my bones like it's a burning fire, and I could not stay. So they had a fire, and I believe it was more than a compassion. And I believe it was more than their just desire to serve God. God placed a fire in their life. God placed, and I believe we have the Holy Ghost. And Jesus said, it's expedient that I go away, that I can send forth the Comforter. And the Holy Ghost is what we need. I take nothing away with that. But I add to that by saying, I need the Holy Ghost, and I need the fire that goes with it. I need the fire that goes with it. It says, we'll start in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. It says, indeed, I baptize you with water. This is John speaking, and to repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whom shoes I am not worthy to bear. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Look to your neighbor, said with fire. Holy Ghost and fire. Luke chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, John answered and saying to them all, indeed, I baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh that latches shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And we see that in Luke, Acts chapter 2 and verse 3. And there appeared unto him cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat up on each of them. Now, why do we need the fire? Because I live in a dry and thirsty land. People are searching for something. People are searching for what these youth have been in here and reaching out for. People are searching for what we have. And it's a dry and thirsty land. After the fire, and even in the day of Pentecost, Peter goes out and he starts preaching, and he starts edifying all these people. And they said, you're drunk, you're a bunch of crazy people. He edifies and preaches. 3,000 people get saved. You know why? Because it's dry. People's dry. People dry, and they're looking for something. They're looking for something more than just religion, more than just saying, and more than just this word. I need to give them the Holy Ghost and fire. Excuse me just one second. In Ezra chapter 20 and verse 46. Son of man, set thy face toward the south and drop thy word toward the south and prophesy against the forest and the south field. And they say at the forest of the south, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will kindle a fire with thee. I will devour every tree in every tree, and the flaming flame shall not be quenched. And all the voices of the south and the north shall be burned therein. God's going to send a fire again. So I believe he sent a fire. I believe Brother Sanchez came and preached and he sent a fire. I believe Brother last Sunday night sent a fire. I believe Pastor preaches continually and he sent a fire. It's up to me to maintain this. It's up to me to maintain this. And I work as a paramedic during the week and I work with several firefighters. And their job is to fight fire. So they have this... they have this triangle, and I've talked about this before. I can't remember if it was here or somewhere else. And on the bottom, they said, well, you need three things to maintain a fire. So they attack it in these three different ways. You have three different ways to maintain a fire. One, the bottom is fuel. The sides is oxygen, and the other one is heat. So the bottom is fuel, the side is oxygen, and the other one is heat. So if you break down any of these things, you can break down any fire. That's when you go to, we have to go to every fire standby. We have to protect our firemen. I love my firemen. So they don't open the doors unless they're afraid that somebody's in the house. So they don't open the doors because oxygen you get in the house and the flames go up higher, especially if it's in the subfloor or in the middle floor of a home. So these three things I can absorb into my life to maintain my fire. Well, these three things I can do. One, the bottom, as I can pray. Prayer is important to maintain my fire. If I'm going to maintain a fire in my life, I need to pray. Matthew chapter 17, verse 21. Howbeit this thing goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Some things I ain't going to conquer. Some things I ain't going to get over unless I just pray. If I want to maintain the fire that God has given me in my life, I've got to learn how to pray. The disciples, when they went to Jesus, they asked him one thing. Teach me how to pray. Acts chapter 6 and verse 4, it says, we will not give ourselves continually to prayer and to ministry of the word. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, continue in prayer, watching the same with thanksgiving. One of the sides that go up this triangle is I need to read my Bible, this holy word. And I'm going to be rushing through this. I'm really, really excited about how the end of this is going to go. I'm sorry if I'm going too fast. Jesse, if you'd like to turn to Luke chapter 24 and get ready for that, please. I appreciate it. The Holy Word. I need to learn my Bible because the Bible is how he speaks to his people. Psalms chapter 119 and verse 11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and of spirit and the joints and the marrow, that is discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. I need to learn my Bible. I need to read my Bible. All right. The third one on the third side is worship. Worship is so important. Prayer is so important. Reading my Bible is so important. Psalm chapter 99 verse 5 says, exalt the Lord your God and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. John chapter 4 and verse 23 says, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in the spirit of truth, and the Father that seeketh to worship him, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Luke chapter 24 and verse 27, in the beginning of Moses and all the prophets, and he expounded to them and all the scriptures and the things concerning himself. All these things. Does it take all that to... I didn't even put being faithful to church because that is my reasonable service. It shouldn't even have to be a part of it. That adds on to my triangle. So these things are what I need to maintain my fire. But I looked in the Bible and says, can a fire be put out and can it be regained? Can it be remade? Can it be used again, or can it be lit again? Can God use someone that their fire has gone out? That they used to have a fire. They used to have a love toward God. Can God still do that? Can God relight a fire again? So Jesse, if you want to go to Luke 24 and verse starting at 27, And there was these two disciples walking down this road. I believe it was Emmaus. I can't remember. And Claudius was one of them. And then Jesus came and he started walking with them. And he's walking with them home. And he started, and he said, why are you guys so sad? Why are you so dismayed? Why are you so upset? And they started asking Jesus, have you not been around? Do you not know about Jesus whom was crucified? And then Jesus, this stranger, still written in red. They just don't recognize him. Jesus, this stranger, started reasoning of him as scriptures from when he was born to his death and his resurrection. And they felt so moved by this stranger. We'll look at it in Luke chapter 24 and verse 28. And they drew nigh unto the village where they went, and he made it as though he would have gone further. Brother David preached an awesome message not too long ago and said, it's like, you know, I need you to tarry with me. I need you to wait. Jesus was going to walk on like he had somewhere else to be. But he, you know, and then the disciples go in verse 29 says, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening and the day is far spent. And he went to tarry with them. You know what's going to keep my fire going is I'm going to got to grab hold of him again. I'm desperate for him. Because my fire was once out, and I didn't think he would touch me like that again. I didn't know he would move on me like that again. I didn't know he could move and touch my spirit like that again, but he did. So now that I've found him, I'm going to clasp hold of him, and I'm going to hold on to him. Jesus may act like he's got somewhere else to be, but I need him more than that. Turn to your neighbor and say, I need him more than that. I need you wherever you're more than where you're going. I need you, and I will constrain him if I need to. This young people, that's exactly what he's looking for. He's looking for such a desire, such a longing inside of you that you'll constrain him. Such a desire that you'll go climb a tree to get to him, just to see him. Such a desire that I will find him wherever he is. Whether I got to pray all night, whether I've got to seek, I will find him. And when I find him, I will constrain him because I don't want to let him go. Hallelujah. In verse 30, and it came to pass as he sat at meat. That's another cool thing. You don't come into somebody's house and just sit down. I love how Brother Sanchez said, when he sits down on the boat, that's when he has authority. That's when he has authority. So he walks into this house, and I don't believe he just sits down. I think he looks around a little bit. He looks around. Do you have any signs that I was here once? Do you have any signs? Do you have any desire that I was once here? Do you have any thoughts of me anymore? Do you have any desires toward me anymore? Because I'm not going to go in some dirty, nasty house and just sit down. I'm not going to eat in some dirty, nasty house and just sit down. I'm not going to do it. But if the house is clean and if the house is swept, these are people that have served the Lord. Their fire's gone out, but they're probably still in church. They're still in the house of God. They're probably still living clean, but their fire's gone out. But they got some signs in the house that the Lord was once there. They got some. Jesus went in and he sat down. Jesus wants to sit down in some of our lives. And he ain't going to sit down. He ain't going to sit down doing my own thing. He ain't going to sit down doing your own thing. He's going to sit down when he's welcome and when he's the center of attention. When he's ahead of the table. And he sit down and he took bread and he blessed it. And he broke it and he gave it to them. Sometimes he's going to sit down. He's going to start breaking some stuff up. So you're going to start breaking some stuff up. And we're all familiar how God breaks things in our life or how he does things. But then they got to looking at him. I've seen that before. Because he did this just 3 days ago when he broke the bread and he gave it to them. This is my body and this is my blood and I give it to you. So he started breaking some stuff up. And he's like, oh God, you're sitting in my life and I can feel something. I feel something. You're moving something inside of me. And you're breaking me. It don't feel good, but it's so familiar. It's so familiar to me. Hallelujah. So he goes in. He sits down. He starts to eat meat. And he starts breaking bread. And breaking bread always represents that's the body. That's the body. So he's breaking stuff. You know, thoughts and ideas that I had preconceived that he left me. You're breaking it off of me. thoughts and ideas and that he'd never use me, you're breaking it off. Thoughts and ideas and said I'd never be anything, you're breaking it off. Thoughts and ideas and he said no, God can't use this because your fire's out. No, he's breaking it off. He's breaking it off. So young people, even if you fall, let him come back in and he's going to do some breaking off of you. You've got some ideas, can preach some preconceived ideas of what people got in thought of you or said about you, and he's breaking it off. He's breaking it off. So what does he do? He starts breaking bread and he gave it to them. And their eyes were open and they knew that it was him, and he vanished out of their sight. So he just left them. No. And in verse 32, and he said, and they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within me when he spoke with us? While he talked with us, by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures. So now we got the fire. And then later they go up to their open room and then they have the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost and the fire, they go together. They go together. I need the fire and the Holy Ghost. He's going to baptize you with the fire and the Holy Ghost. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 22 says, "For by the sheep, for thou shalt heap coals of fire upon their head, and the Lord shall reward thee." God's also going to reward those that help get your fire back started. Reaping coals back on, pastors preached this several times. Back in the old days, when a fire would go out in a home, the leader of the house would go out with a pan on his head, and a neighbor, if he was kind enough, would heat coals on that pan or whatever, and then they would bring it back to the home, and then they would have fire again. So it's in the fire. It's in the fire because people are dry, people are thirsty. People are dry. People are thirsty. We need the fire. We need the fire again. God, and we're heading in the right direction. These are just four little things. I need to worship. I need to read my Bible. And I need to pray. Because I don't want the fire to go out. I'm going to grab a hold of him wherever he may be. I'm going to find him. And when I find him, I ain't going to let go. Because I need the fire.